in the still of the night.
Okay, as I gazed through my window. When Ruby arrives, Commissioner Rabanchi arrives, we'll hopefully be not far into the thing. First of all, we'll open the session, call to order, and pledge of allegiance. Please stand.
Of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Commissioner Alstadt?
Here.
Commissioner Mansour?
Here.
Commissioner Rajbanshi?
Here.
Vice Chair Kirby?
Absent.
Chair Massey?
Here.
All right, we are now to the public forum, and this is a time.
Do you have any for me? Okay, this is a time for anyone who has comments on a non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city, may request to speak on that. We allow a 3-minute time on that, and we have one, and that's Dr. Ingeborg Cox.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Commissioners. It is distressing to find out what faces the main monarch Elwood Grove of eucalyptus. Aren't you dealing here with trees that are historic specimens that originated from the nursery of Elwood Cooper? Cooper is recognized as being the first American nurseryman to propagate and distribute eucalyptus seedlings on a commercial scale in California, according to the city's website. It is also stated that the area and the monarch site are named after him. Also, remnants of Cooper's main eucalyptus nursery still exist today in Elwood. It appears that the rush to trim the trees to open the trails could forego other solutions. What happened to the monarch butterfly habitat management plan? Who is in charge of implementing this plan? Also, it appears that there was no maintenance of the understory of the main eucalyptus grove. How did this happen? Why are new trails away from the potential dangerous trees not being considered as part of a provisory solution? In medicine, when drastic measures are an option, the patient has the right to a second opinion. Please get a second arborist's opinion, as the price is too high if the city could lose the historic trees in the main grove as well as butterflies. According to Walita the Good Land by Tompkins, Mr. Elwood Cooper treated the black scale that was destroying his walnut groves with a natural parasite, which fed on the scale, the ladybug. The scale had been stripped clean within a matter of weeks. The Elwood Mesa eucalyptus groves are protected under the city's general plan as environmental sensitive habitats. Also, policies are in place to protect ESHAs from human impact. And remember, please, this is a precedent setting to any ESHA. Whose interpretation is it what watering the main eucalyptus groves would be disallowed under the general plan and the Coastal Act? How long does it take to grow an eucalyptus tree to over 60 feet? Eliminating the trees could damage the main butterfly grove for the next generation. The Elwood Monarch Aggregation Site is one of the largest roosting areas in California, according to the brochure. Also, approximately 200 specimens of birds, including some that are endangered, threatened, or regionally significant, visit the Elwood Mesa. Many migratory birds winter in the Mesa. All this needs to be taken into consideration. Any large tree removal needs to be okayed by the PTAC. Staff cannot act alone. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Cox. Do we have any others who would like to have public comment? Mr. Walsh, was yours for the public comment, or did you have a specific agenda item?
I don't know. Oh, it's public comment.
probably then Mr. Dwayne Walsh.
Thank you.
Walsh, sorry.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioners, did you get an envelope from me, all of you? Because I've got a luncheon notes I'd prefer not to go through.
I don't think so.
We emailed the packet to you earlier this week.
No, it was
to get it to you right away.
Brown envelope that had correspondence with the city in it and letters.
I didn't look today because I've been busy, but I looked yesterday and I still didn't have anything.
No, we scanned it in and sent it. So if you've checked your city email, it was in there.
Yeah, I check it every day except today.
Well, that's terrible.
I do have it.
You do? Okay.
I have it as well.
I could avoid going through all of this, and I should anyway. Let me just say that I have two very dangerous trees behind my house. I'm a 44-year resident of Santa Barbara Shores. Forgive my voice. And I've had years of watching those trees, and now there's two dangerous ones that are going to bring down the power line, and they will hit my glass garden room and my house. I would just make one request of this commission, and that is that you send a commissioner or somebody out to take a look, make a report, and bring it up at the next meeting. It's very important, because the winter storms are coming, and those trees are coming down. They really are. I'm right on the edge, open to the ocean, and I've seen trees. It's a peeling off process. And I've seen trees along the Sandpiper Golf Course get peeled down year after year. Now, we don't remember what a storm is anymore. We haven't had one in years. And I've got three big trees that went down all on their own, without any rain or without any wind. I've had wrought iron furniture blown right off my deck. And this is very important, because I don't want to have to redo my garden room, my glass garden room, and have repairs at my age to put up with. Okay. Thank you. Could we get someone out from the commission?
Well, we can't discuss an item under public comment, but we'll talk with staff about it.
Well, I hope you get my writings.
I'll check my computer as soon as I get home, but I did not have it yesterday.
I didn't realize you scanned it. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Are there any other public comments? All right. We'll move on then. Any adjustments or amendments to the agenda?
No amendments.
All righty. We'll move to the consent calendar.
Item A1, approval of the Public Tree Advisory Commission meeting minutes of January 26, 2017.
I'd like to postpone this to the next meeting, since we'll have the same result that we had last time, because we don't have enough voting members that were here during that. That's the problem last time. So might as well save a little time.
We can go ahead and do that. We'll go ahead and take item A2. Item A2, approval of the Public Tree Advisory Commission meeting minutes of June 8th, 2017.
All right. Does anybody have any corrections, additions, subtractions regarding the June minutes? If not, do I have a motion to approve? No, you now need to push that one.
I'll move to approve the minutes.
I'll second that.
We have a second from Commissioner Rabanchi. All those in favor say aye.
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 All righty, we're set there then.
Okay, item B1, removal of eucalyptus trees at Rancho La Patera.
Before we start this, I wanted to mention something. Now, if I can find my sheet of paper. I thought it was important for the public to understand the process that we go through. And what we will do is we will have staff report, then we'll have the questions from the PTAC, then we will have public comment, followed by additional questions probably by PTAC, and then discussion of the item, then an action, be it a motion, direction to staff, whatever. Just so you have a general idea of the process. All right.
Well, thank you, Chair Massey, members of PTAC. I'm Rosemary Gaglione. I'm the Public Works Director. On May 2nd, the council, during public comment, wanted staff to look into the 14 eucalyptus trees at Rancho La Patera and come back to them with a report on the health of the trees. We did that on June 20th. Robert Morocco, our city arborist, had gone out in November of 2016 and found the trees to be sound, but did say that some crown reduction would reduce likelihood of branch failure in the westernmost trees. Store Environmental did go out and let us know that, of course, we wouldn't be able to do any pruning until September 1st. Of course, that time is rapidly approaching. The area is currently eucalyptus woodland in the Lake Los Carneros Management Plan. It provides, can provide for monarch butterflies and raptors, but does not provide a high-quality habitat for most wildlife species. Store Environmental opined that the eucalyptus trees have no special intrinsic biological value, since, and they would not be considered ESHA, environmentally sensitive habitat, unless they hosted overwintering monarch butterfly aggregations or raptor nests. And the trees in this area are not mapped out as monarch habitat in the general plan. This stand of trees is, however, known among local bird watchers who frequent Stowe House and Lake Los Carneros year-round, and they're known to support wintering flocks of warblers and occasionally tanagers and orioles during the winter months. Should PTAC recommend removal of these trees, then we would likely replace them with coast live oak, because that's a species that naturally occurs on the property. One option is to go in, if you decide to remove them, is to go in and remove them now. Another option is to wait. We have our Rancho La Patera improvements project, and the parking lot will all be redone at that time. So another option is to wait until that time to remove the trees. When we presented to council, and they did tell us, they directed staff to bring this back to PTAC. Council member Seves suggested maybe removing four of the trees closest to the depot if your commission didn't want to remove all of them. It is an area frequented by children. The train goes through, so you do have some, as the arborists like to say, targets in the area. This is the general area that we're talking about. This is an aerial view. And then this is the driveway, and you see the eucalyptus trees along the right. They are not irrigated, so they don't receive any additional water except for the rain. And you can see some of the depot there, the entryway. And they're in various states of leaning. Of course, they grew that way, so it's not a lean that is a lean of failure. There was a large branch. There have been two large branches in the past, I think eight or 12 months, that have fallen at the depot that had to be cut up. And they, in one case, I believe they fell near the track, so that depot staff actually, instead of calling us, went ahead and cleared it, although we would have come out to take care of it. And that's the last of my slides. I don't know if your commission has had a chance to go out and look at them, but as they've grown, there are some areas where, you know, one limb is kind of cutting into another, the way that's grown, because of course they weren't pruned as they were growing. And this concludes my presentation, and I'll open it up to the commission, ask me questions, or we do have our arborist available.
All righty. Does any members of the before I mention that, you all have, we didn't have it before, but in front of your microphone, you have a little button. It's a little dark button. If you want to speak, if you hit that, I can see it and not miss you. I think it's the handiest little thing. So if, you know, I'm not catching you, light up my little array here. We're getting really tech here. Any questions? Commissioner Rabanchi?
So as I understand it, the arborist report claims that the trees are sound.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if they're, and you know, I'm sorry, I'm new to this commission, but if they're sound, then why is PTAP considering this?
We've had concern from the folks at the depot, the historic depot. Eucalyptus, even when they're sound, they drop limbs. And they have dropped limbs right where the train goes, which can carry, you know, carries children and adults. And so there was concern. When there's a safety concern and there are people frequenting the area, then that came to council, who wanted to have PTAC provide input and consider whether or not, given the location, the proximity, the uses proximate to those trees, whether it would be appropriate to remove them, all of them, or the ones that are closest to the depot.
Well, when the arborist considers whether they're sound, does the arborist take into account, you know, the danger of falling limbs, or what is the definition of sound?
Well, I'd like to let Robert come up and define sound then, because it doesn't mean that no limbs will fall. So, Robert, can you come up and define a sound tree? And what would you want to see to say that the tree is unsound?
Good evening, commissioners. Sound is, there's certain faults that trees could have. And so it may be something like leaning. It could be the way the branches are attached. It could be that we see actual cracks or something like that, which would increase the likelihood that it could fail. When I consider a tree to be sound, those faults aren't present, or they're minor faults. And so that's how we do. Although,
okay, like, thank you.
Okay.
So I have a question in regards to the soundness of the tree. After you trim it, do you feel that with some trimming, could you reduce some of the risk with these trees? Because I was out there this afternoon looking at them again, and I go out there at least once a week. So admittedly, some of them are kind of overgrown. But I can see where they have been trimmed in the past. Some of them look like they were perhaps chopped at some point in the past.
Yeah, I think they have been in the past. Yes, you reduce the immediate likelihood of failure, right? So there's a leverage component in there. But you may increase the likelihood of other failures in the future, because when they're cut that way, there's usually a proliferation of branches where it's actually cut, so where you're talking about that chopped portion of it. And those are typically weaker attachments. So the rule of thumb is that we don't want to do that type of crown reduction if we don't have to, because it increases the maintenance in the future with those new branches having to be tended to. But if you reduce the weight, then you'll reduce the likelihood that that branch would fail, or that tree would fail in its entirety. I mean, if it was leaning, or we look for things like the ground lifting, or if there's a change in the degree of lean, or if it's a historic leaner. But yeah, that's it in a nutshell.
So would you recommend taking off limbs in their entirety, or do you just make them half as long?
Well, it depends. Sometimes when you take limbs off in their entirety, there's a balance that trees develop over time. So branches serve as counterweights. So if you take the weight off of one side, and what normally would happen is when you have wind events or storm events, that push the tree in one direction. It's those counterweights or those other branches that drive it back and or pull it back. Ultimately, what happens with all trees is in those types of events, the motion becomes circular. And so it's not this way and this way. And in a circular motion, the strongest point of the tree, or what should be the strongest, is at the base. And then that's where the pressure moves in those conditions. And it doesn't mean that that can't be done and that it couldn't be beneficial, but there are consequences.
Thank you.
Commissioner Manser?
Yes. I see in your report you state crown reduction would reduce the likelihood of failure.
Right.
Is there other proactive maintenance that could be done on the tree, light thinning? Could deep feeding strengthen the limbs? I mean, I imagine there are other things that could be done to maintain the health of the tree and its life cycle.
Right, that would be water.
So would it not cost us less to water the tree, even if it's with recycled water, than wait for it to fail and have to pay for removal?
Well, I don't know that water actually contributes to the structural strength of the tree. It contributes to health. So the canopy you would expect the canopy, if there are more resources available, which would be water, then you would expect the trees to have denser canopies. There would be more foliage. It would be less susceptible to insect infestation. But in terms of whether or not it would fail, I don't know that it changes the equation that much.
And so I understand that Councilman Aceves suggested 4 specific trees to remove. Can we find out where those 4 trees are?
Those are the trees that are closest to the depot. I think you kind of see them in that picture there.
But those aren't the trees that were identified as being potentially the least sound. Am I correct? Because you were talking about the westernmost tree as looking the least healthy, potentially.
Part of a hazard assessment would be the target. So if there isn't a target, that is assigned a very low value. If there is a target, in this case the depot, it's assigned a higher value. So that's a little different than determining whether a tree is sound or not, where when you apply, you know, to determine whether or not a tree may be hazardous, then there's other factors that come into the equation. And so I think I can't say what he was thinking, but obviously if it's not in range of the target, then it's not as big a problem.
I think you bring up an important point, which is there is a difference between the tree being sound versus whether there are any receptors in the area, in my mind. So given that, for all of these 14 eucalyptus trees, if you were to look at it from a safety risk perspective, are all of them pretty safe considering the soundness of the trees, receptors nearby, et cetera?
Yeah, I didn't evaluate it that way, but I suspect that it would be low. It would be a low risk assessment, or we would consider them, I hate to use the term safe trees, but no more than anything else. Now, they do drop branches, and that's what this is about. There's 2 limbs that fell, and that's their concern. And that can happen without warning, without any defects. That can happen. So that's part of the risk assumption if you have large eucalyptus nearby.
Right, and that could happen with eucalyptus trees elsewhere as well. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Happens with oaks too, by the way.
Thank you.
Commissioner Alstead.
Well, I was just going to say, now that those limbs have fallen, we don't have to worry about any risk associated with them falling again.
With those 2 limbs, that's correct.
But to the point that was just brought up, I mean, it seems like there could be targets within a range of any tree within the city. And so at what point do we start, you know, deciding to cut down trees just in case they might eventually damage property or hurt somebody? I mean, I have trees immediately adjacent to my house that I look at every day thinking, well, maybe, is it going to fall? I don't know, but I enjoy the aesthetic value and the environmental value. That hasn't fallen yet.
Is that a question or comment?
It's a comment, sorry.
Okay, I think that takes care of questions, and we'll move on to public comment.
Chair Massey, may I speak? Sure. Thank you. I think one of the big distinctions was that when you have eucalyptus in open space, it's more of a natural setting, and there's some assumption of risk that the public takes as they walk through nature, through an open space. The reason this came is you have the depot where people are drawn to, and because of the limb drop and those concerns raised by the depot, that we were bringing this for you to look at is a little different than an open space deeper in the lake property. That's all.
Thank you. All right, public comment. We'll start with Ken Knight.
Hi, my name's Ken Knight. I'm a longtime resident of the city, and I'm also a registered consulting arborist, just like Robert. I think one of the problems you're facing is that when you don't have an ongoing management of your trees, you're going to have maintenance problems. And unlike the street trees that the city maintains on a regular basis, these trees are maintained on a basically on an as-needed basis. When there's a problem that occurs, take care of it. Essentially, today I'm looking at the proposal, and I see that it's a little bit premature to me making any decisions about removing trees at this time. You need some specific design plans, but you also need specific arborist reports. You have a report in front of you, one or two sentences from Robert. What you really need is a specific arborist report that details each individual tree and considers the risks of that tree, the dangers of the tree, the structural content, and a specific report that provides recommendations and alternatives for you to consider. What you have right now, you don't even know what the tops of the trees on the photograph here. So what you, and there's a bias against eucalyptus and large trees. You need that arborist report, when I say the written arborist report, so that you can figure out exactly what trees you're talking about and specific information about that. There's a lot of value in these trees. There's environmental, shade, character, historical value that aren't being considered. The fact that the biologist said that there's no intrinsic value of non-natives. This place is full of non-natives. And most of Goleta would lose all of its trees if all of its non-native trees were gone. Your role, I believe, is to consider alternatives. And there are a number of alternatives you started discussing already. I think it's incumbent upon you to ask for additional information. There are examples of eucalyptus management that has occurred in other cities. I've been involved with the city of Carpinteria in doing some reductions of some of their historical eucalyptus trees. You should know that all trees have some element of risk, and that cities have to determine what is that acceptable level of risk. Are you just not ready to do it at this time? Thank you.
Thank you. And our next speaker is Noel Langle.
Good evening, members of the commission. My name is Noel Langle. I've been a member of the South Coast Railroad Museum since 1993. I've been on their board of directors since 1997, so I'm very familiar with these trees and how they've operated over the years, so to speak. Hopefully you've received copies of our letters that we sent into the city and the photographs that we submitted regarding the tree situation. As the letters indicate, we are very concerned about the danger that these eucalyptus trees pose to our visitors, and not only to museum visitors, but to the museum and the depot itself. For those of you who may not be familiar with the depot, it was moved to the present location in November of 1981, after being abandoned by the Southern Pacific Railroad in the 1970s. In October of 1982, it was officially recognized by the County Board of Supervisors as Historic Landmark Number 22. In January of 2002, it was added to the National Register of Historic Places, which is in addition to being listed on the California Register of Historic Resources. While we are advised that the trees are sound, and we heard that again tonight, we have experienced catastrophic failure that indicates otherwise. About a year ago, a very large diameter limb tore off the main trunk of one of the trees and crashed onto the sidewalk below it, narrowly missing the shed where we keep our locomotives and riding cars. Unfortunately, this occurred when the museum was closed. We were able to, with the saws we have on hand, cut the smaller limbs so that we could pull the train out and operate the train that day. And then we did contact the city, and we thanked the city for coming out and removing the large portion of the tree. More recently, on a perfectly calm day, a 6-inch diameter limb suddenly broke from the trunk of the tree and fell to the ground. This was in an area that the Historical Society routinely uses for their events. Additionally, the eucalyptus trees are growing near and compete with several coast live oak trees that are struggling to survive in their shadow due to the presence of the eucalyptus. And we are led to understand that these oaks would thrive and grow better if the eucalyptus trees were removed. In conclusion, we hope that any recommendation that your committee commission forwards to the City Council will support the removal of these trees, or at least the alteration of the trees, such that it will give priority to protecting the museum and the Goleta Depot, which is one of the oldest and most important historical resources and structures within the city. Thank you.
We have Ron. I'm not sure what it's, Bruns?
Bruns.
Bruns. Sorry, I'm not good.
That's okay. My name is Ron Bruns. Thank you for allowing me to speak today, or this evening. I'm the vice president on the South Coast Railroad Museum Board, and I too have been familiar with that location for a long time. I actually worked at Station 14, at the fire station right across the street, for many years, and long before 1981. And I'm very familiar with those trees. There were other trees similar. There's some right there by that portable bathroom between the parking lots that were torn down because of the danger factor. And they were a danger to the fire station. The other thing is as you can see, the first tree there on the left is leaning over the driveway, and that could even inhibit the fire department or emergency crews from even getting to any of the public that attends many of the events that go on at the Stowe House as well as ours. As if you've ever been to the Tuesday night music, thank you very much to the city. The place is packed. And the thing is we're not trying to convince anybody to tear down all the native trees in the entire South Coast. The other thing that has to be remembered is the ones that are right along those buildings right there are already slated to be torn out, because that's where a new sidewalk and the new parking lot project is going to prevail. So they're already on the map of being gone. But the other ones on the inside, especially to the left of that kiosk behind the porta potty, the one that had approximately a 14-inch branch break off, that tree has still got the scar from where the branch broke off. That is not a healthy tree. It's not. And so all I'm saying, and is these trees also, one of the things we're not talking about is trees reach an age. And these trees have reached their age. Most of those trees are 80 to 100 years old. And so it's a fact that they're going to die on their own. But in the process, we don't need to be killing any of the residents and visitors to the Railroad Museum. And this is a serious issue. It's not something, it's not a can we need to kick down the road, as has been expressed. And so the other thing, if you look at these trees, most of them are almost defoliated because they're not healthy trees. Most of that is due to the drought. Talking about watering, there's no water available. All we got is two hose bibs at the whole place. There is no additional water. And I can tell you right now, we can't afford the water bill. And so there is a tremendous issue there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And our next speaker is Cynthia Brock.
Good evening, Chair Massey and Commissioners. Thanks for the opportunity to speak. A couple things. Someone mentioned the motion that Councilmember Seves made on June 20th and said something about it was about removing four trees. It was not, I don't believe, that the language that was used. It was to refer the concern about four trees to this body. So just someone probably has the exact language. Mm-hmm. Also, we don't have the detailed assessment that Ken Knight was talking about, but there is a one-page city tree inspection that was included at the June 20th meeting, but I don't know if it was included in your packet. But it does say, in the future, the recommendation is, in the future, some crown reduction would reduce the likelihood of branch failure on the westernmost tree. One tree, our arborist has recommended one tree, not trees, as your staff report says. So anyway, onward. The large eucalyptus trees lining the parking lot leading up to Stowhouse are a significant historical, aesthetic, and biological asset to the city. I believe the commission should be guided by the recommendation of the city's arborist that no action is necessary at this time. All trees have risks and many benefits. The benefits, like beauty and comfort, natural services like habitat, temperature modulation, carbon capture, soil maintenance, stormwater retention, and pollutant filtering, generally outweigh the risks. If we removed all trees that might someday drop a limb in a storm or fall over someplace, we would create an ugly, denuded city. The mere chance of a limb falling someday is no reason to cut down trees. Let's cherish and care for the trees that we do have. Eucalyptus are not native trees, nor are the trees in the Goleta Valley Historical Society's city-supported arboretum restoration project on the Stowhouse grounds. That doesn't mean they're not valuable or interesting or beautiful. Those trees, like eucalyptus, are part of the history of Goleta, of the Stowhouse, and contribute to the special visual and historic character of the Los Caneros Historical Preserve in our city. Although no monarch aggregations have been reported on these particular trees, that doesn't mean they don't contribute positively to monarch habitat in the area, acknowledged in the Lake Los Caneros Management Plan, as there are several recognized historical sites nearby. Perhaps oaks would provide a certain kind of habitat, but the assertion that a different tree might someday provide better habitat than the ones we have now is also no reason to cut down trees. The eucalyptus are mature and are providing habitat and natural services now, while oaks will take many years to mature. So I hope you would continue to monitor the status of trees in the city's public spaces and keep them both safe and beautiful, but don't become overly concerned about perceived risks that aren't supported by professional objective analysis. 6 seconds left.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And our next speaker is Dr. Ingeborg Cox.
I was not planning to say anything, but as I heard, I need to say something. One question. Why is there not continued maintenance of the trees in the city? Also, during the presentation, why is it that the public is not being shown the actual trees that are being considered to be cut by just saying we're going to be removing some trees and we don't have a visual, it is not fair to the public to do this. You need additional information from staff. From what I heard right now during the presentation, everything started in 1981. It's now 35 years. The event, the catastrophic failure, was 1 year ago. So it took many years. And in my opinion, if you do maintenance, you most likely would avoid catastrophic failures. So that would be my suggestion. Please do some maintenance to avoid catastrophic failures and give water to the trees. Yesterday, I was passing through Anapamu. The city of Santa Barbara has some special things that they are watering the trees that are so special for the city. Why cannot the city of Goleta do the same? Thank you very much.
Sorry. Thank you. Do we have any other speakers on this particular item?
I have no other speakers, Madam Mayor.
All right. Thank you. I just got promoted to mayor. The power. That's okay. I won't take over. All right. Our next thing is, does anybody have questions? And it looks like Commissioner Manser does.
Yes, I do. So as commissioners, I think there's more information that we need. And if the arborist did a written report similar to the one that Mr. Knight has provided a copy of, I think it would be helpful as commissioners for us to see that. I also think that it would be helpful. I did not see in my packet the correspondence from the South Coast Railroad Museum. That would be helpful to see.
That was emailed to you.
Okay.
This week as well.
And additionally, seeing an overview of the trees, where they're positioned on the property, which trees we're talking, specifically which trees we're talking about. It's hard to tell from these pictures, because I know there's more trees than just what's here. It's difficult for us to make a good assessment without knowing the complete picture. Oh, and I have one question. May I ask audience member question? Mr. Knight, can you tell me what the lifespan is, general lifespan is for a eucalyptus tree? I'm going to put you on the spot.
Well, it's approximately...
You need to get up to the microphone, please.
These are mostly blue gum trees, if I'm correct in that assessment, Robert. They can last from anywhere from 50 to 150 years on the average, but that would depend upon the conditions of... soil, climate, a number of different factors. They don't have a switch where they all just suddenly stop functioning. But generally, these trees have been around for probably around 100 years and could be around for decades more.
Okay, thank you. It would also be helpful to know what the improvement project plans, the Rancho La Patera improvement. If you have trees that are slated to be removed, then perhaps some of the discussion that we have tonight is moot.
If I could respond, yeah. Commissioner Manser, so we do have a Rancho La Patera improvement plan where we're going to be redoing the parking lot, all of that area. We will be putting in sidewalk because right now we lack ADA access. We don't yet know if that will necessitate the removal of the trees. So we haven't determined that, and it may. So it may be that when it comes time to do the project, we need that space or enough damage is going to be done to the roots by cutting out, you know, many of them to clean up the parking lot because they've damaged the parking lot. And at that point, it would be the best thing is to take them down. But we haven't made that determination yet.
Thank you.
And also, if I could, I didn't mean to say that Councilmember Aceves made a motion. I believe he had brought up maybe four of the trees rather than all of the trees would be looked at for removal. So if the commission came to a determination whether they wanted all of the trees looked at specifically or just the trees that could hit the depot or the area where people congregate at the depot.
Since there's a question, before we go any further, I'm going to read the motion. It was by Aceves and seconded by Richards to refer this item, which was the trees, to the Public Tree Advisory Commission, direct city staff to provide a closer examination of the first four trees, providing options for the PTAC decision, direct city staff to work with the Goleta Valley Historic Society and the South Coast Railroad Museum Depot Board to incorporate their general plan work with plans for the city's development at the site and future removal of any trees in anticipation of the parking lot expansion. So I don't know if that helps you at all.
Well, it shows that we owe you additional information.
Okay. Commissioner Rabanchi, sorry.
So I'm actually uncomfortable with creating an ad hoc policy to remove trees. This sounds like it's a public safety issue, so it should probably be looked at through the lens of risk management or a risk matrix. So you're not only looking at the condition of the tree, but you're also looking at the likelihood of failure and the consequence of that failure, just as you would look at any natural hazard. So that said, it doesn't sound like there's that kind of risk matrix in place right now. Am I correct?
Yes, you're correct. And we obviously missed the getting all of the council members' motion. And so one of the things that we can do is to go ahead and have our arborist create that matrix for these trees and bring that back to you. You can then determine whether or not you feel comfortable making that decision if you want to defer that just to risk management. But I do feel that, you know, this commission's input is critical, and our next item is working on developing, you know, fleshing out the plan so that it's easier for staff to make a determination about hazardous trees and when they should be removed. This is tricky. This is tricky because it's a numbers game, right? It's and all it takes is one, the wrong place, the wrong time, and that's what's disturbing. And there, nobody likes to just go cut down trees. They take a long time to grow. There are great benefits that they do provide, and when it comes to public safety, though, that's when all of those things kind of start to clash a little bit. So, as I said, you still have to discuss more, but we can go ahead and have Robert put together the full assessment. The thing is, do you want the full assessment of the first four trees? How many trees would you like the full assessment of? Do you want all of them?
Well, I don't have the answer for that, but I did also want to add that if there was some kind of assessment created, and maybe this is going to be something that's discussed for the next item, mm-hmm. I think in the long term it would be good to have some kind of framework that's, you know, based on science that looks through the lens of risk in order to determine in the future if this kind of stuff comes up, what causes a tree to be hazardous and what's the level of risk that's acceptable mm-hmm. to the public.
Commissioner Manchin? Oh, you, okay, you're still, okay. Okay, Commissioner Alstadt.
Thank you. It just occurred to me that I actually don't even know which four or five or 14 or 15 trees we are actually talking about, and I've been out there several times to look with the documentation with me. There's different numbers in each of the letters. There's different, you know, this says 14, we were talking about 15. And one of the public commenters mentioned the idea of maybe marking the trees so that the public can see what's gonna happen. And I actually really like that idea. It's like a story pole, you know, for development. It gives the public an idea of what we're actually talking about so that maybe I mean, I'm sure if you went and cut down a bunch of trees, someone would come to the next city council meeting saying, I didn't know that they were going to get cut down. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's two different comments. One is giving the public a chance to see which trees are the ones that we are the most concerned about. And I heard someone from the Railroad Museum mention a tree that wasn't one of the ones on this row, if I heard correctly. And I saw it today. I mean, it's much closer to the building, but I don't think that's included in here. So, yeah, I think we need more information. Yeah. And I have another comment just in general about trees mm-hmm. in the area. National Audubon has listed the Lake Los Carneros Stowhouse area as an important bird area, so it's part of the South Coast network of important bird areas. And those are areas that are recognized on a national scale as being important not just for breeding birds during the spring, but for migratory birds. And the fall and winter especially, as you know, these areas are really important. And in part, it's because there are lots of trees over a large area, so it makes it more attractive rather than just having one or two isolated trees by themselves. So when birds are flying overhead, they see our large green spaces, the proximity to water, and the kind of micro habitat within the trees. And so I know that there's talk about removing the next patch of trees over for an additional parking lot at some point in the future, and then we're talking about removing these trees. So it's actually a considerable number of trees and habitat that would be lost.
Yeah, Commissioner Alstead, we don't know yet on those others. So these, so when we backtracking over onto the Rancho La Patera Improvement Project, that was brought up as a possibility. Council has not signed off on removing those trees. Now, a number of those trees, I think, now are dead. But we haven't, there's been no approval of removing the trees. There are a number of pieces to that project. Yeah. And so that was one of the things that whether it's now or in the future, we don't, and maybe never, we don't know. So I don't want people to think that's already been decided and those trees are coming out. In terms of these trees, the first concern was about removing all of them because they can fall, and as the retired firefighter said, they can if they fell across the driveway, it can preclude fire engines from getting to where they need to go without first getting out and removing a tree. So, that's a problem in and of itself, and we do understand that. And then in the council meeting, it came down to looking at the four trees, and I think there was 14. I think what happened is there's a 15th that's just kind of around the corner slightly. So we can have the arborist look at all of those trees and come back with a more thorough report and a risk assessment. Obviously, the highest risk is going to be around the depot. And we had the one branch, but we also had the second branch that was fairly recent that the folks at the depot they cut up before we knew about it. So I don't know what others may have fallen and that they took care of, you know, when we weren't there. And we do recognize that's why when Lake Los Carneros, when the water levels got so low during the drought, we were really worried that if birds came and there wasn't water or the water wasn't of a decent quality, they wouldn't come back. So this particular stand, at least, is not part of a really large stand of trees. It's just a row.
But it adds the overall.
Absolutely, it adds. We don't take this lightly, you know. If you have any question about that, so that's why we're here.
I just have two more parts of questions. Can I continue with that? So one is that I noticed when I was out this afternoon that there are other trees, not eucalyptus, that are leaning over the buildings, and one, in fact, is leaning on the shed. And there are some oaks that are kind of menacing the tracks below. And so I was just wondering, is there a plan to do routine trimming and maintenance of other trees other than eucalyptus? Because it seems like that would be a good thing.
As it was mentioned earlier, there are at least three live...
If we could have you come up to the podium, please, so we can capture you for the record.
Ron Bruns, thank you. There are at least three large, well, one extremely large, probably 8-12 inches in diameter maybe, oak trees that are interspersed with these eucalyptus. And there are two others, and the ones that you're referring to are struggling. If the surrounding trees were appropriately addressed, those trees would grow and prosper. And so it's not like we're just going to do a clear cut here. You know, there are other plants that are intermixed with those trees as well. So, yes. And that might be something you want to add into your the data that you're having collected is where are those trees and what's the impact of a eucalyptus tree stunning their growth? Thank you.
Thanks. I was just going to say my final question while you're thinking. Is the cost of removal of trees versus cost of trimming, a crown reduction or whatever we would call it?
Yeah, we had a $42,000 for removal. What would you say, Bob, for just trimming?
Because of the Bob Morgan, Stern Public Works Manager, because of the height of the trees, they'll have to come in with the aerial lifts and stuff, so it's going to be a little more substantial than normal. I'd say, I'm sorry, probably around $1,000 a tree.
Thank you.
Okay, Commissioner Rabanchi?
I don't have a question. I just wanted to make a comment that as a member of PTAC, I feel that the removal of trees is really something that should, again, be focused on public safety. Otherwise, you know, anytime anyone wants to remove a tree for any other reasons, it would be very easy to do so. And we're talking about very old trees here. So, again, I would advocate for looking at this through a public safety risk matrix or risk lens. And of course, again, this can probably be talked about at the next item, but I think public safety is key here in looking at it through that lens. And if they're low risk, then they're low risk.
I guess at this point, I'll make a few comments. I did go there and spent a while wandering around the entire site to look at all the trees. But specifically these trees along here, and they look like an average group of trees, and I was surprised that it's as mixed as it is. I didn't see anything that had me concerned. I'd be willing to stand there with the windstorm, but you know, at my age, maybe it doesn't matter. I honestly don't see any really good reason to do anything right at the moment. We're going to be looking at their general plan, our parking lot. This would be a perfect time then to, you know, look at it all at one point. I don't think anything is going to drastically happen over the next 6 to 10 months. And my recommendation would be to just let things go until you do the plan. It's not something that the trees will make any difference. Eucalyptus, I lived in San Diego. They had a beautiful eucalyptus in front of the San Diego Zoo. Trees were tremendously healthy, perfectly maintained. One day, just bang. A limb fell, actually killed a person. You can't tell when something's going to break, when something's going to fall completely over. But these aren't that tall of trees. These aren't that, they're not stressed to as bad as they could be, thank heavens. And I don't see a real problem at the present time. I think that, you know, there's no need to be cutting trees unless there's a really specifically dead or dying tree at the moment. That's just my point of view on this. So it's up to the rest of the commission how they want to deal with this. I just hate to see a lot of city money going into preparing one report after another. But I'll leave it up to others to make comments. I didn't see who went first, so
Commissioner Manser. Again, I don't believe that we have sufficient information to make an informed decision. That I would like to bring this back to the next meeting.
Can I ask a question about the arborist report again? When I had asked, I guess a couple of minutes ago, about whether the trees were low risk, was that not through some kind of risk lens, or was that just based on the fact that the trees are sound?
That was not based through a risk lens. It wasn't taking targets into account. It was just, was the tree sound. The matrix that Mr. Knight is talking about would go into that in more depth, which is a different report, which Mr. Marocca can do for us.
Okay, thank you.
It's up to the commissioners to decide what they would like to do. Commissioner Alstead.
Thanks. As I think I mentioned earlier, I am still just unclear on how many trees we're actually talking about, and so I feel like we do need either more information for us to make a decision on this tree, that tree, not this tree, or this limb, not that limb. I'm inclined to go with the expert who the city has, who's the arborist, and to go with his decision on whether the trees are sound or not. I would fall back. That's why you guys pay him, right? He's an expert. I feel like I could support trimming, especially of some of the other trees that weren't specifically on this row that we mentioned, like the one that's hitting the top of the shed and things that are obviously causing, interfering with the railroad museum and the shed right now. But I don't feel good about giving a blanket approval to go out and cut a bunch of trees when we don't actually know which ones we're talking about.
Could I make a suggestion, yeah. Chair Massey?
Surely.
Then what I suggest is we go out and we have Mr. Marocca take another look at all of the trees for soundness, but the trees that could have limbs drop or potentially land upon the parts of the building of the depot and the parts of the depot where people congregate, that we go ahead and we do the more in-depth risk assessment on those trees. And we bring that information back. This way, we're not spending a lot of money doing more in-depth reports on some of the other trees, right, that wouldn't fall, and then it's not as much of a risk perspective. But if they, if they're not looking as good, then there should be some evaluation of whether or not they could impact the fire station. Because you don't want to call 911 and then, as soon as we get the tree out of the way, we'll show up. So we'll look and see if that's a possibility. But then we'll on those other trees, we will do the full risk assessment and bring that back to you. We don't have the ability to water these trees. There's not enough water for people in the city, unfortunately. And we don't have a connection to the recycled water. We would have to look at trucking it in, which is in the area of $500 a truckload. It's not cheap because we can't do it. We need the Goleta water to do it. And I don't know that would actually solve the problem. So I think the in-depth assessment is a good idea.
Sounds good. Commissioner Halstead.
That just reminded me. I know we talked briefly about the possibility, if these trees were to be removed, of replacing them with coast live oaks. But my question then would be the timing in this hypothetical case. The timing, if the parking lot is going to be dug up, and if there's going to be a sidewalk put in, and things that we don't really know but potentially could happen, I'm assuming there's some sort of vegetative or restoration plan associated with that, a landscaping plan. I've seen the diagram. But it just seems like the two should mesh together rather than doing it kind of a piecemeal, we'll take something out and stick something in. Oh, no, now we're going to have to tear all this other stuff out. And
no.
It's like I feel like there needs to be a unified vision, and it has to, especially if we're collecting information now that then could be fed into that process.
No, you're absolutely right. I think that even with the more in-depth risk assessment, then the question is going to be, does this pose such a risk that it should be taken down now, or is it something that can wait? So that will be another thing that we would look at. And yes, if we take out any trees, you need to mitigate that. And so that would mean coming up with plantings, and if it's live oaks, which there are some live oaks who's kind of struggling to make it, then we would be putting in more of those trees. So.
All right, Commissioner Manzer.
Ms. Gaglione, you had stated that the cost for trucking in the water was recycled water was about $500.
I believe so.
So if either of our two arborists would be willing to answer the question, the amount of water that would be trucked in for $500, how many of the trees would it water? Because $500 is certainly a lot less than $42,000 to remove it after it's died.
And that's on an ongoing basis for how long? And so that has to be sort of taken into account. But
four times a year, so there could be some possible solution that would be less than $42,000 to remove a dead tree by investing $500. So if it's $500 per tree times 14 trees, well, that's not reasonable. But if one truckload would water half of the trees or all of the trees in question, then perhaps that might be something to consider. And would the sodium content of the recycled water be harmful to those trees in question?
Robert can speak to the amount of water. Then the other thing we'd have to find out is about using the reclaimed water in that area. So,
yeah, the one, the water, I don't think it's going to change them structurally. It makes them healthier. So that would be one part. As far as the amount of water, we usually look at supplying 2 inches of surface water on trees. And most of the root zone is under impermeable surface. So the watering would have to be done to the railroad side. It's fairly narrow the way it's set up right now. So we're only watering a portion of the root zone at best. And the calculation is pretty easy to make based on square footage. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head what that would be, but I could certainly put that into the report if you would be interested. The other part is that what you mentioned on the sodium content of the water. Our recycled water is really poor quality. So plants that are salt sensitive would have a problem with that. I don't know off the top of my head the sensitivities eucalyptus has to salt. I suspect that it's not real high, but I did look into it for our redwoods, and it was out of the question. So that would be something else to consider. I could delve into that deeper if you'd like.
Thank you very much.
Mm. All right, Commissioner Rabanji.
I have a question actually about the more detailed risk assessment. So being new to the commission, when other issues like this have been raised in the past where, you know, somebody says, oh, there's a tree that looks like it's going to fall on my house, you send the arborist out and the arborist does his or her report, but it's not this detailed risk assessment that has been recommended, correct?
That is correct.
Is there a reason why?
Yeah, go right ahead, Robert, because I don't have the answer for you.
What the target is, it's at the highest level and on any street tree, because for the most part, all the street trees, one either can cross the street or hit a structure. When we're called out, ends up happening on the trees that we condemn, it's usually decay cavities, and they're at the base. So there's a calculation that can be made based on the wall thickness, the size of the cavity, the size of the opening, the diameter of the trunk, to determine the structural loss or the strength loss of that tree. And there's threshold levels that we look at. So in most cases, it's around 30%. So if the tree exceeds that threshold level, then I just recommend take it down. And if it's below, then we may look at alternatives, and it may be crown reduction, it may be cabling, something like that. But I don't go into the full hazard assessment type of report that we that could be done.
So you don't consider whether the tree is near cars or near homes or not? I mean, for street trees, for the most part, I assume they are, but I'm sure there are instances where they're not.
Yeah, they almost always are. So street trees, that would be the case. So a place like this, you look at the value of the target, right? But you also look at how often is it occupied. So I would want to know how many people visit on how many days a week for how many hours. And so let's say a house is occupied all of the time. A well-used playground where there's a play equipment may be used, 8 hours a day or a high percentage of the day. So that's how those factor into determining how critical the target is, right? So here, I don't know how many days a week it's used and for how many hours it's used. That doesn't mean that it's not a high value target. Buildings typically would be, sheds maybe not so much, right? A major thoroughfare would be, an alley maybe not so much. Okay. Am I answering your question?
I guess I'm trying to understand what the difference between your report and the risk assessment would be, because, you know, if we're going to ask for this detailed risk assessment, I'm wondering whether it also sets a precedent in the future for when these issues come up. We're not only going to ask for an arborist report, but we're also going to ask for a detailed risk assessment.
Yeah, we're not asking for that much more, actually. So if it's on a tree-by-tree basis, you look at each individual tree and report on each individual tree. But and there's really sophisticated methods for determining how much hardwood there is, for example, in a tree, which I don't do. Normally, I just sound a tree. So I have a certain type of mallet that I'm just going to rap on it. And if it sounds hollow, then I'm going to start probing into the tree to measure how thick the wall of the tree is. But there's a lot of other technology that I don't have that to determine that type of thing also. So I would go, I actually did that, and I did that for those trees specifically, and they all sounded solid. One tree had some decay, and so I checked that one specifically, but the decay pocket was small. Now, a hazard rating, I'm going to assign a value to that tree and say this on a scale of 1 to 12 is A, and this is what the recommendation is. We just don't go quite that far on the regular street trees.
Okay, but in this risk assessment, the trees basically will get a number assigned to them in terms of...
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. Oh, and sorry, one last question. So you said it's really not much more than what your report gives us. I don't know if this is... maybe I can ask this offline in terms of the cost of it versus a normal, regular arborist report.
It's time, right? So how much more time is it going to take for me to assess that? I need more information in order to assess that. So how much time it takes me to gather that information, I would talk to these gentlemen here, that type of thing.
If I could, I think the amount of money is actually small compared to if you could assign a dollar value either to the tree or a dollar value to what it could fall on. So I think it's important at least to have that information. So I think it's not going to be that expensive to have a more clear picture. I think this is an important issue. I mean, they're wonderful trees, but some of them are next to a place where kids are riding the train and people are congregating. And we need to know. Everything is a balance. It's not just about the trees, and it's not just about people, but it's about everything, and you have to look at that's the only way. I mean, it doesn't seem that there's any other way to come up with a numerical value, and even when we come up with it, you know, it's a numbers game. And it's what happens that we can't tell and who happens to be there at that time. And that's the difficult part. I think that's why sometimes there's more of actions are more cautious. They might be more conservative and remove a threat when you can't ascertain the degree of the threat. And that's a tough part, and that's a tough call for PTAC. And if the assessment came up at a certain number, we would just be recommending removal, because that's our job to go ahead and recommend that for public safety. But we can do that, and we can bring you back more. I want to apologize. We've had a lot going on, and I missed that part of the recommendation. I will take responsibility for that. We'll go ahead. We'll get these reports. We'll come back with additional information at the next meeting. And hopefully then we'll have enough information for you to make a decision.
Thank you.
Commissioner Manser?
Yes. I'd like to thank everyone for being patient and while we discuss this. This is an important issue. And I think certainly we've identified that safety is key, and also maintaining the health of our urban forest is almost as important. It's not equally. It's almost as important. And I would like to move that we table this until the next meeting so that we can get the proper documentation that we need to make a really well-informed decision.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
All right. We have a motion by Commissioner Manser, a second by Commissioner Alstadt. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right. Looks like we will be moving to the next agenda item.
That's item B2, amendment to section 4.2 of the Urban Forest Management Plan.
All right. Thank you, Chair Massey, members of PTAC. This is about an amendment to section 4.12 of the UFMP. The entire section was not included in the staff report because only parts of it were changed. I believe you've been given a copy of the entire section so that you have it in front of you. This came out of the issue that we were just talking about, which are these eucalyptus trees at the depot. One of the council members asked if we had a policy in place, we had the guidelines, and they haven't been fleshed out. So council directed staff to work with PTAC and the city arborist to go ahead and flesh this out a little further. I would ask the chair how you want to approach going through this step by step to see, because we have three possible recommendations that you could make. You could review it and recommend that the city council approve the draft amendment that we've done with or without modifications, or initiate work on an amendment to this section, or consider creation of an ad hoc committee to work with staff of the city arborist on the amendment and then bring it back to the full committee for review, comment, and approval.
Commissioner Alstadt.
Oh, gosh, I didn't even know my thing was on, but No, you read my mind. You read my mind. Well, I found that the proposed changes are, in my mind, are not minor at all, and I know there was a sentence that said they're minor. I definitely don't support adopting it as written right now. I would volunteer to be on an ad hoc committee to work with the arborist and maybe other experts in this matter. And I also feel like the rest of the urban forest management plan is going to need as much detail as this. We're adding to this section, but I feel like now we can just start adding, going back into other areas. And I know you just finished it without me, but just while I was thinking of it. So I have a lot of, I could go sentence by sentence and tell you all my issues with it, or we could just...
That's up to Chair Massey, however she would like to. We have done page turn before.
A long time.
Right, that's why I say, whether it's going through it, that's your exercise program right there.
That's what we did.
whether you want to go do item by item now or whether you want the ad hoc committee. That's for you folks to decide how you would like to do that, and then we'll be there to support the effort.
Commissioner Manser.
I would prefer not an ad hoc. I'd prefer to do it as a commission.
Okay. Commissioner Rabanchi.
I agree, and that's what I was going to recommend. And I also wanted to make two general comments about the modifications. One, it just seems like it's almost a laundry list of factors with no prioritization. So I think being able to prioritize, you know, what are the factors that should rise to the top when considering removal of trees or whether they're hazardous is important. And secondly, I'm also concerned about, you know, if this gets into place, do none of the issues ever come to PTAC again? Is it all just kind of, you know, shepherded through the city and then the public doesn't really get a say in removal of trees?
I would, how I would see this happen, if there are certain things that are really cut and dried. And it's very easy to put in here that if there are any areas that it's not very clear. We want to get to as clear as we can so we don't have to come to you every time, because that slows things down. And right now, you know, we see a tree that's failing, we can go ahead and cut that down. So as much as we can get there, that's great. Things are still going to come back to you. Things are going to be not very clear. They're going to be right on the bubble. Or people may come out and really sort of campaign against removal of that tree, in which case that may be something that's appealed to PTAC because it doesn't present a clear and present danger to public safety. So this is part of, you know, there probably was little chance that we'd just get approved today. But, I mean, we just wanted to start with something, and we gave it a shot. So this is going, you know, as much to be what you feel comfortable with as possible and what future PTACs will feel comfortable with.
Okay, I think what we'll do is see what the public has to say about this before we move forward. We'll start with Ken Knight again.
Okay, this is why I was here today. I think the public review by the PTAC is essential, and that to delegate this responsibility to staff is, there's just not enough clear guidance in the proposals that have been put in for place here. You have my comments here. I just wanted to reiterate that what's proposed in here in terms of clear guidance isn't very clear guidance at all. It's pretty broad. And the city has decided not to adopt the standards, the nationally recognized standards for tree risk assessment. And I've included part of that as part of the basic tree risk assessment form that I suggested that the city use. But even if those standards are adopted and you come up with something that works for you, that's even better than the national standards, which is going to be difficult to do. But if you did, you still should have PTAC review of staff decisions. And the reason why I'm here is I'm a little mad about the trees that are being removed. There's five trees in my neighborhood that were removed recently, and I just saw on the next door that another tree was removed over at Cambridge. There's no public review of these. The tree down the street from me was declining, but there was no notice. The decision was just made. What I would like to see, it's very unusual to have an imminent hazard tree. These trees have been around for 60, 70 years. To have an imminent hazard. This tree's going to fall down tomorrow. Not likely. Not long enough that you can't bring it back to you guys and for you to review it. So, I'd like to see arborist reports. Yes, there should be arborist reports. I'd like to see the arborist reports on the trees that have already been taken down. The city arborist has already said that uses a sounding tool. Well, risk assessment is one of my specialties as an arborist, and I know that you can be waylaid by that. There are more sophisticated instruments, such as resistographs, which drill into a tree, or a tomography, which does radar of the tree. It's more expensive, yes. But if you're talking about a tree that's been around for 60, 70 years, and it's part of the character of the area, we want to use these advanced tools when necessary. So what I would suggest right now is you direct staff, stop taking down the trees that are not an imminent hazard. And even if it is an imminent hazard, those reports should be coming back to the PTAC committee to review why this happened. Why was this necessary? Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Chris Lang.
Thank you. My name is Chris Lang, speaking for myself tonight. Thank you very much. My first time here. This has been fascinating. What did I think? PTAC wasn't important. Oh, boy, did I not know. Anyway, thank you very much. I might be here a lot, like I have time. Hey, you know, there's so much to say, and I think a lot has already been said. This item feels like wholesale. Well, not wholesale. How do I want to say this? Maybe I want to just address something that was... And you didn't mean to do it, Rosemary, but don't ever about trees say that something is cut and dried. That's terrible. and this is not cut and dried, and this is a case-by-case story. Our trees are like one of the most important features of Goleta, and I'm not just talking Elwood, but I am now thinking about my experiences around currently and for decades around Elwood. And all I can say is nothing should ever be out of the public eye. And yes, bringing things back here is absolutely critical. And it shouldn't be a basket of things that can be taken away out of our sight and done without review. That doesn't just mean, although that includes Coastal Commission emergency permits, it includes CEQA, it includes ESHA. I don't want to see a precedent-setting action here. This is precedent-setting in this city to do something this broad brush, and that feels really, it just concerns me that way. I have a few very specific things to ask. Are trees on Elwood Mesa subject to or explicitly exempted in the Urban Forest Management Plan? I'll bet they're included. I don't know. That's a question. The trimming and removal processes, the procedures that govern, that are governed by this urban forest management plan, do they explicitly acknowledge in the document that these are subject to federal laws such as raptor nests, such as listed species? You can't get away from that. That's always going to have public review. What entity in Section 412, 412.1 and 412.2, you have a program and a plan mentioned. Are they the same one? There's slight word differences. I don't know if those two are different items or meant to be the same item. Do you see what I mean there? Public tree risk management program and public urban tree risk management plan. I have no idea what they are, but are they the same thing? Help. All right, that's a question. I can pass until someone can answer that. Do we consider the Elwood Action Plan that's currently going through its throes of birth a public works project as it's defined in 412.6? I'd like to know that as well. Frankly, I just don't want our Goleta tree fates handed to even the best of staff, or the insurance company, or the fire department, or any other body that does things out of sight, out of mind. Thank you.
Thank you. And our next speaker is Cynthia Brock.
Thank you, Chair Massey, commissioners. These amendments to the Urban Forest Management Plan are a good start for having a comprehensive policy for dealing with tree risk management in the urban forest. I applaud the addition of the text added to Section 4.12.4 that enumerates the benefits that trees provide to our city and our environment. These are benefits that should be actively considered and balanced when considering risks. However, the subsequent subparagraphs of this section are woefully incomplete. Most importantly, these amendments do not make any distinctions among the treatment of trees in a parkway, trees in an active-use recreational area, trees in a natural passive-use area, such as a nature preserve. They do not recommend any different process for trees that are in an ESHA, an environmentally sensitive habitat area, or for trees that are in the coastal zone, or for trees whose maintenance is already covered or should be covered by a habitat management plan. Any general plan policies, Coastal Act policies, and management plan policies, such as the Elwood-Devereaux Coast Open Space and Habitat Management Plan, must be consulted, and the urban forest policies and processes must be consistent with these and other controlling policies. Also, subparagraphs do not balance the benefits that may be provided, even by trees with the characteristics described in the subparagraphs. Dead and dying trees. Now remember, we're talking about not just trees on a street, but trees in a forest, trees in a nature preserve. Dead and dying trees provide habitat and are part of the natural cycle in forests. Even decaying trees or trees with cavities provide important habitat value in natural areas. Trees with poor configuration or less aesthetically pleasing trees can certainly provide habitat as well as other important benefits. And many, if not most, trees in a forest, when examined individually, will be less than perfect. Trees that have been previously poorly pruned, while unfortunate, can provide perfectly acceptable habitat and all these other benefits that we're talking about. So the policy should also reflect the difference between removing a single tree and many trees, or especially significant trees. A metric should be established regarding what should be brought back to PTAC to ensure that the public is given notice and has the opportunity to comment, as some have spoken to. Consideration of replanting and restoration should be part of those agenda items. Subparagraph whatever allows removal of trees deemed hazardous in spite of damage to wildlife and habitat. There should be other alternatives considered in your policies in some contexts, like segment closures of hazardous trails in environmentally sensitive areas. The same paragraph also recommends conferring with an arborist. In some circumstances, consultation with an ecological or wildlife specialist should also be included. In some cases, a coastal development permit may be necessary, especially in the absence of a local coastal plan. I believe this is a valuable undertaking to provide guidance to the city staff, city council, and citizens, but this issue needs a much more complex and nuanced policy than is presented here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Massey, could I respond to some of
this? You sure can.
Sure. So, yes, there's obviously a lot to be added to this. If you have public safety is the number one priority. So if you're in an open space, such as Elwood, you can close the trails, you can post it, and you can take time to decide what is going to be done. On a street tree, you can't necessarily close the street, and if you think there's an imminent threat, then the tree needs to come down. If it's in a park or other open space, then you have to weigh whether or not you can keep people away from it or if you can't. So when we say an imminent threat of failure, this we really believe that the tree is going to come down and could hurt somebody. If you can coordinate off and you can have time to take a look, then you can do that. But the Coastal Act, all of these different things do allow for emergency removals to protect public safety. Whether or not this plan would be relevant to Elwood, probably not. It's a different animal, and it's a large enough section of land that probably does need its own plan. I mean, this has been worked on because you're looking at that as this entire system, okay, which is very different from looking at a street tree here and there. And when you remove trees in a large system, there's other things that you're potentially upsetting. So it's a very different thing. So I wouldn't see this as ending up pertaining to that, because it's going to have its own management plan, and I think all the guidelines will end up being in there. But I think you're right in that it's not just every tree is going to be looked at the exact same way. Where is it located? What would happen if it falls? And some of the trees when we're talking about, they've been poorly pruned. I mean, there are just trees that Edison pruners have come through, and now they're unbalanced, and they're starting to look like they're going to split. And we've seen that happen. And that's a little bit different. And you've got something that probably needs to be replaced with another tree that would do better in that location, off the street tree list, that would achieve a height that's not going to end up in the wires where it's going to have to be mutilated to keep power going. So I do agree there's a lot missing here, and I think it was reasonable to include in the recommendations that PTAC could approve it, but that's why there are these other recommendations that we can work on it when we can, however they want to work on it.
So. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Now we have final speaker, Ingeborg Cox. Dr. Cox.
Thank you, Chair, Commissioners. I find that what staff stated here on page 17, that Robert Muraka is recommended that the PTAC consider the following minor changes in blue. These are not minor changes. These changes in blue are big changes. For example, 4124, B, where it says exception. If there is no target, city staff may or may not recommend the removal of a tree. If there is no target, why are you removing the tree? I don't understand that. E, if the tree has poor configuration and no longer enhances the aesthetic quality, why would you remove a tree because of an aesthetic quality? A tree gives benefits. You mentioned the benefits that the tree can give. So just for aesthetics, removing a tree is not correct. It doesn't have a point. It just says here, factors that will be considered a cause for removal. The production of excessive fruit, leaf litter. That's what trees do. They can have excessive fruit, and they can have excessive leaf litter. You are not going to be removing them for that. Yeah. I don't agree with that. If disease of insect infestation puts a tree in jeopardy or the urban forest at risk, you, in all these blue issues here, ESHAs have not been mentioned. You need to mention environmental sensitive habitats, and not just say, well, they are going to be addressed someplace else. They need to be mentioned, and you need to tell the public where they can go. And then last thing is species scheduled for removal without consideration for variables such as wildlife or nesting birds. Nesting birds are a species that are sometimes migratory, and some species are protected, so you need to take them into consideration. You cannot just put a carte blanche. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Commissioner Hallstatt.
Oh, gosh. I just had one comment without having to go sentence by sentence, because I'm not sure we're actually doing that right now, but as I'm looking again at this list, I'm realizing that some of these are more long-term things, and then others are actually short-term. So like an imminent threat, you know, abruptly there's an issue where the tree is cracked, it's falling over, that's an immediate threat. And I can see where maybe that would be something that the city would want to be able to take care of right away, and I can understand that.
Sure.
But many of these other considerations are more of a long-term, long time scale, where it seems like there's time for, you know, to review, has there been an arborist report in the past? Do we know about this particular tree? Yeah. You know, and look at that trajectory. And also being able to sum up all that information would give us a better idea of which trees may become an imminent threat in the future, but may not be now. Mm-hmm. So I just was thinking about that.
No, that's correct. And some of the things that aren't, this specifically says that whether it has excessive fruit or is not a consideration for removing a tree. So we wouldn't remove a tree because it has excessive fruit. It's almost sounding like, if I might, that this should be broken into categories with street trees and then other open space. And then just include, if there is a specific management plan in place for an ESHA, then it would be that, these trees in this area would refer to this management plan. So that makes it clear that they would fall under. So, for example, when the Elwood management plan is done, then this, instead of individually, then the management plan might be referenced in here because that covers that area. In the absence of a separate plan, then this would govern. But I think it we need to find a way to break it up so that it's some of these are great for street trees and not great for other things. So I think making this into categories would help a lot.
When it gets back to the level of risk that was spoken about earlier.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Manser?
There were some excellent comments that were made by the public, and I would like to move that we request those people who've made such well-thought-out comments, provide them in writing for the commission to look at and bring this back to a future meeting.
You can request that, but not move that, because it's not one of the...
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's I'm fine for you that, to...
Yeah.
And I would also like to move that we bring this back to a future meeting.
Do we have a second?
Yeah, I'll second that. We bring it back to the meeting with the information that we've... Like, it's round two, essentially, is that? Or bring it back so that we discuss it in full. I don't know. Just before I second it.
We would discuss it in full. And do the line by line that has become the tradition for PTAC.
Yes. Before we go any further, Commissioner Rabanchi, please.
Well, I'm happy to discuss this at a future meeting, but I really do think it needs to be overhauled. I'm not even sure considering this language is enough. I mean, maybe the language just has to change, be some kind of matrix or something. I know I keep talking about matrices, but yeah, I think it might just need to be overhauled. I don't think we can really even look... I wouldn't be comfortable looking at this language at the next meeting and, you know, editing it.
Were you still...
Well, no, I was just going to say that, I mean, I guess I was thinking if it came back, we would just sit here and then I would have a problem with every single line, like I said earlier. I mean, I won't say have a problem, but I would want to discuss every single thing. And so maybe after you've heard the types of situations that have been brought up by commissioners and the audience, you'd be able to reconfigure it so that when we do go line by line, we would have a less red pen or something.
That would be wonderful. If we could have a chance to go ahead, take another stab at this, and even if you wanted to email us suggestions, that we could try to incorporate and put in who suggested what even, and then make that available. Maybe we could come to some basic ideas here tonight. As I said, if you want to look at it in sections, you want separate for street trees and then do other things separately, and then we could start to put it together like that, and then we could go through the line by line. I think right now everything's going to be obliterated, and so if we can if we can start again with your input and suggestions and the comments from the public, then we can come back to you with something you can actually sink your teeth into and start working on.
I think it'd be a good idea if we each, I know I just had only one page, but I had a lot of other thoughts, if we put down things, even mine refer to specific instances in here, specific A, B's, and C's, and stuff I wanted to add besides that, if we just fed all of that to you, like you said, you know, emailed it to Rosemary, Mrs. Gaglione, sorry, then we could share it all, look at it,
you know, and go from there, and I think we end up with a much better in the end. It may take longer, and I've done this how many years, but shows I don't have any brains, I just stay here. But no, I think, you know, we have a document that's improved over the original one. Now we've picked this section, we're going to improve this one, and we're going to probably work through the whole thing all over again. And I'll be dead and you'll still be working on this, but that's okay.
I think that for the Brown Act, and City Clerk could weigh in, I think for the Brown Act, if you email it to me individually and don't copy each other.
Yes, yes.
That would be accurate.
Okay. Yes, I should have said that myself.
Do not copy each other, because it could be perceived as a discussion among you. So if you just send it to me individually, I can put it together and there's no Brown Act violation.
I should have thought of that. Does any... You were
calling. I have one more comment. I like that recommendation of just bringing something entirely new to us based on our recommendations, but I do also want to point out that the public has made a very strong point in terms of the transparency of when issues come to PTAC, and so I would like to see a recommendation from city staff in terms of what issues should come to PTAC for tree removals. Is it going to be every tree removal? Would you recommend only certain tree removals? What is that based on, et cetera?
We can do that.
Okay, we still have a motion. The city clerk, do you have the motion that was made by any chance? Sorry.
I believe what we were left with was that Commissioner Manser, Commissioner Alstadt, moved to bring back this item to a future meeting.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure we knew what we were voting on before we started voting here. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. I think that takes care of that. Are we ready to move on to the next thrilling episode? I don't know where I think we're about to the end. Oh, future agenda items.
Yes.
Oh, did I miss? Oh, I did miss it. Sorry.
Well, that's a new addition because we didn't have that
before. I wasn't
before.
Used to that, and I just skipped from one over to here.
And there's no time on it.
Right. It'll be short.
We're going to put very specific time limits on these in the future.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so in the past, we haven't added this, even though other commissions have it, and it doesn't leave a place for me to maybe bring commission up to speed or make announcements that might be good. So as everyone probably knows now, that September 5th, there's a workshop on Elwood. Mm-hmm. And then there will be another council meeting on the 7th to discuss that issue. And so we hope everybody will come. I'm sure they will. And we will be bringing a full report to the council and to the public for discussion and consideration.
Very good. That's it?
That's it. That's my big report.
Well, it was short and sweet. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I just ask, will there be any additional information related to those two meetings available before the 5th?
There'll be a staff report.
When is that coming out? Just because I'm going to be gone on the 5th and the 7th, but I would like to look at things.
I have to find out.
Personal.
I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay.
I don't know if the city clerk knows when that will be available.
Typically, all reports for council are available the Thursday prior to a Tuesday council meeting, and it's also available on the website.
And I would keep checking because it may go. There's a chance we could get it out early, but I can't guarantee that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we have future agenda items. Commissioner Manser.
I would just like to remind staff that we have a future agenda item that was requested at the last meeting about the city's tree street list and the park and open space list and adding that to it. And I would also like to someone in comments had mentioned an ongoing open space park maintenance program, and I think that would go along with that particular topic. Is there one in place at this time?
We don't do regular pruning of open space trees. They're a little more like a natural area. We do pruning of street trees. We would do pruning of tree. We'll go and check the tree that is leaning on that building. We do that sort of pruning. But open space is typically not pruned regularly.
But would it not be wise to have that on even a 5 or 10 year rotation, that they're looked at, so you don't have this, so we reduce the level of acceptable, that we reduce the risk level by having this ongoing maintenance, even if it's 5 or 10 years?
Yeah, we're starting to do at least an annual just look at trees. Obviously, we're coming out of a very bad drought, and a lot of our trees, especially the eucalyptus, are aging out. So I think we're going to, I mean, there will be removals in the future just because things are going to die completely. But we're starting to do just an assessment, not of individual trees per se, but a group. And if we find something that looks like it needs to be trimmed so it won't fall off, I mean, or that it might not hurt someone, we would do that. But we, that's also a budgeting issue and everything else, to go in and start doing regular pruning on open space. I don't know where we would even find the money to do that sort of thing, and whether or not everybody would want us going into what should be a more natural area and doing tree trimming. So,
but you know, I'm not talking about something that's annual, but every 5 years, every 7 years, somebody should be looking at it, should be on the radar to avoid these risks.
I think the trees that are near targets, like this particular thing with the depot, even more, and trees that are adjacent to trails that are marked trails for people to go. So it would have to be pretty well delineated. We wouldn't be able to do it for all trees.
Yeah, I understand that, but I agree with Commissioner Mansour that we should at least look at, or there should be some process by which to look at trees that are near targets, because mm-hmm. people do use open spaces.
And that may be part of this plan that you're putting together, in terms of when you start to have a grading system for evaluating that, that will be important, especially given when you look at cost of removals and cost of trimming. At looking, so if we're grading and we have a matrix and a way of rating that tree and from what distance from a trail, et cetera. So yeah, I mean, this is actually, I'm sure, going to end up quite detailed, and what comes out of here will be used to evaluate those trees.
So it sounds like the request that I'm making actually comes under the amendment to 4.12, or could come under 4.12.
It's really a different issue.
Okay.
And I think we need to get through this one, and then we would have to look at what sort of money we'd be talking about. And I think if we get into the hazard assessment separately and we just focus on that, then what would the hazard assessment be applied to? And that's where the next logical step on that would be, if that makes sense.
Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Allsett?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I do like, in the perfect world, I like the idea of a database filled with matrices of all of our trees that mm-hmm. lists all these different factors, you know, certainly risk mm-hmm. factors, but also, you know, environmental benefits, history of bird use, wildlife use, you know, aesthetic value. I'm sure you guys have lots of extra staff time, right? But well, but the other thing that I always think about, though, is reduction in canopy, where, you know, we take out a number of large mature trees that serve a, you know, huge benefit of sequestering carbon and, mm-hmm. you know, improving air quality, and then we replace them with limited small trees. I know that would bring us down below the goal, the canopy cover goal that's in the the plan. I just wanted to mention one other factor that I've been using a lot just when I look at specific trees, and that is Audubon here has a breeding bird study, breeding bird study, and it's a kind of an atlas of reports of bird nesting behavior, and I think the reports go back 40 or 50 or 60 years where they've taken a lot of handwritten reports and put it into an easily searchable database that's publicly available. You can go to Audubon's website, and there's links of how to go through there, but just while we're talking about bird use and bird nesting, whether it's one time or over a long period, like the same birds could come back to the same trees. So I think that might be an important resource for staff to look at when you're talking about removing trees that we may not see birds in now because it's not bird nesting season, but you want to know, actually, is this tree being used when it actually is nesting season?
We don't cut any of these trees without a biologist coming out. Right now we use Store Environmental. So they come out and examine everything, and they will they let us know in terms of.
Yeah, and John's aware of the database, but yeah. Just when, I mean, what I'm saying is there may be a history of use that is not apparent at the time of inspection. Anyway, that's all.
Commissioner Manser. I'm seeing double now. Sorry.
I don't see why we can't, or I don't know if that's what you were saying, but I really think we should discuss open spaces as we're looking through 4.12. Yeah. So we can, you know, create a list of factors and weight them. And sure, the weights are going to differ depending on whether you're looking at street trees versus the value of open space trees. But I feel like it's more efficient to look at both while we're having this discussion instead of kind of separating them.
Oh, I wasn't saying not to do them. In terms of a maintenance thing, that's what I was saying. We should look at maintenance issues. I mean, this is a hazard assessment rating. And all I was saying is that we probably want to look at them differently so that the, as I said, for a street tree, you can't keep people away. The hazard is going to be more of a hazard. You can't close the street while you try to just think about what you might do with this tree. If you're in an open space, and that's in an open space where some of these other things come into play in terms of habitat value and nesting and other things, and where people might come into contact with it. Because a lot of things have been brought up that don't pertain to street trees. They pertain to other things, and I think it's, instead of painting all of it with the same brush, we might have a street tree assessment. We might have other things for open space. We might have looking at things. There might be exceptions for parks or however you want to do that. So that's all I was suggesting.
Okay, and I just want to make clear that as we're assessing what factors to look at when we look at street trees and open space trees, it's not just whether they're a hazard, but also the aesthetics, you know, the value of the property, et cetera. So when we see the recommendation from you next time, mm-hmm. hopefully we'll see those other factors in play as well.
Sure.
Anybody else have any? I don't have anything else. Would we like to adjourn?
Do we need a motion to adjourn?
Sure, go ahead.
I move we adjourn.
I second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Problem or its play, it's a heartache either way, but beautiful, and I'm thinking if you were mine, I'd never let you go. And that would be but beautiful, I know. Love is tearful.
Yes, it's a problem or it's play. It's a heartache either way. Oh, but so beautiful. And I'm thinking, if you were mine, I'd never let you go. And that would be but beautiful.